Kia ora. This program is brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard.
Kia ora and hello. I've been asked to tell you about No Labels, the radio show for, by, and about people living with disabilities. The show offers interviews and news about the disability sector in Aotearoa, New Zealand. On Wellington's Access Radio 106.1 FM. Find us on Facebook or go to www.accessradio.org.nz. No Labels, our voice for you on Access Radio.
And welcome to our January edition of No Labels. Trust everyone had a most enjoyable and relaxing Christmas and New Year break. I know the weather has had its ups and downs, but I guess here in Wellington, we've been pretty fortunate compared with other parts of the country. Our show this month, we're going to be talking to, we've got two guests with us talking about their work, but let's kick off first and introduce the two guests we have and find out a little more about them before they start telling us in great detail about the work they're involved with. So let's go with you, Charlotte, first.
Hey everyone, I'm Charlotte Hoonhout. I'm the co-design collaborator for this project. I have a background in startups, innovation, and service design, with a focus in co-design practice. Outside of this project, I work as a co-design advisor in the design team at Disability Support Services in Wellington. Christchurch is actually my hometown, but I grew up between Auckland and Dubai. I finished my degree in innovation in Auckland before moving to Wellington. I've been here since 2019.
So why did you move to Wellington?
I got into a government graduate program, which was more by accident than deliberate, but I got the opportunity and that brought me down here.
And Dubai, that's a bit of an interesting place to go.
Yes.
Why Dubai? And how long were you there for?
We moved because of my dad's job. Right. I did the majority of my high school education over there, ironically at a school called Wellington International. Which when I started as an 11-year-old, I took quite a bit of an offence to, as I didn't cope with the transition early on particularly well. So going to a place called Wellington felt like a bit of a snub.
Right. Okay. And Emma, what about you?
Hi, I'm Emma Corbett. I am currently a Victoria University student. I have been a support worker since I was 16, so on and off over 10 years, which is pretty crazy to think about.
Can you tell us a little more about that?
Sure. I got into support work. I kind of fell into it when I was 16. A family friend asked if I would come and be a support worker for her daughter. And I just fell in love with it, really. I just loved that we could just hang out and I just got to know one person really well. And it's the only job I just keep coming back to because I love the people so much.
Right. And sorry to interrupt you, your flow then. So tell us a little more about yourself. So have you always lived in Wellington?
No, so I'm from Dunedin. I moved up four years ago, I think.
Right.
At the time, I was working for a government agency, so I just transitioned up here mostly to be closer to my best friend.
Right. And so are you both working as well as involved with the course at Vic?
Well, I am doing part-time support work.
Right.
And Charlotte she's like a co-investigator with me on the project. We've met outside of Vic and I just brought her in on the project.
Right. Okay. And we're going to hear a little more about the project shortly. So besides studying, working, et cetera, what other interests do you guys have? Anything sort of that is a bit different?
I'm not sure about different, but I've got a long history as a para-athlete, both just for fun, but also at slightly higher levels. I've done swimming, I've done equestrian, specifically para-dressage. I while I was doing my university degree, I was also trying to qualify for the Rio Paralympics. Looking back on that, I'm not entirely sure how I managed to balance those two things at once.
Gonna say it sounds pretty strenuous.
It was a bit, but it was a really good character building experience. And that's still my lifelong goal, is to go to the Paralympics for para dressage. But at the moment, I'm taking a bit of a break and focusing on establishing things outside of my sport. But I still spend a lot of time at the gym and have been lifting weights for the last year and a half, I think.
Wow.
But I really enjoy it.
Do you find gyms are that accessible, or is there a, or some gyms are better than others?
I would say that some gyms are better than others, but I think the most critical factor from my perspective is two things. So, number one being the community that you have around you. I have such a good gym community, and that is more than half the reason why I go on such a regular basis. I really look forward to seeing my friends. From the perspective of actually training, I work with a trainer once a week and a physio twice a week. And with things like equipment, because I'm actually quite a short person, I'm 5'2", I can't reach a lot of the heavier equipment. So I need to train with that trainer from a safety perspective to be able to access that equipment. And while that is an additional expense, it's just a way to do it safely and with good control. So it is worth it.
Great. And what about you, Emma?
I really love dancing. I'm not doing it at the moment because uni and work have taken up kind of all of my time, but I love salsa dancing.
Oh, well, that helps to keep you fit.
Sure does. It's very fast-paced.
Now, I've forgotten who's going to introduce their first song. Oh, it's
Charlotte.
Charlotte. What are we having, Charlotte, and why have you chosen the song?
So the song I am introducing is Venusian Fires by Valiant Hearts, which I don't expect many people to know, which is part of why I chose it. They're a indie sort of soft metal hardcore rock band. Those words are in contradiction with each other, but trust me on it.
It's
I
a
love
great track.
for their narrative, so enjoy.
Great, let's go.
the galaxy.
Like the new scene.
Okay, what a great track. I actually hadn't heard that before, but it reminded me of another track that I saw in conjunction with a light show for a Christmas theme. Now, Emma, your project, tell us more about it, what it is, what you're doing, how this might interest some of our community, all those sorts of things.
Yeah, so I'm really, really excited to talk about this project. It's been a long time coming. So my project is called Everybody, and it's about designing with disabled people for disabled bodies. So it's about co-designing. So we co-design alongside each other. As a non-disabled person, I can't make any assumptions about someone else's lived experience. Experience and how they experience the world in clothing. So working alongside the wearer gives me some insight and helps me to make decisions alongside them about what matters to them in the clothing they're wearing.
Right. And so, how long has the project been going for?
Well, it actually started in my last year of fashion school. I was working as a support worker then with a little boy. And I had these long conversations with the parents, the mum of this little boy, talking about how the clothing just never worked for his body. He had feeding tube, and different body needs and challenges. And so I created this bodysuit, and it could be laid flat underneath him and done up around him. So there was no lifting, no mucking around, trying to get arms and legs in. It was easy to wash, and kind of ticked all the boxes for that child. And it was the most fulfilling thing I'd ever made. And it just, I don't know, lit up something inside of me.
Right. And so the project itself, how long do you have is left to go in it, or where have you got
Great
to in it?
question. So we're about halfway, 6 months in, 6 months to go.
Right. And so what do you hope to be able to do in the next coming 6 months?
Well, we are nearing the end of Charlotte's garment.
Right.
Charlotte has been working with me to create her outfit for a wedding.
Right.
She is going as a guest, and she wanted something. Crazy enough, a corset, an accessible corset, if you can believe that. And
Right.
we are creating this garment, and she is actually going to wear it to a wedding and let me know how it goes, getting on and off. And then we're also creating together a co-design framework because ultimately the goal is to outside of university start a business around accessible garments and, working alongside disabled wearers.
Right. And so do you have other disabled people involved, or is this predominantly you and Charlotte at the moment? How does that work?
Really good question. It's just Charlotte and I at the moment, but we're actually currently looking at bringing in a second co-designer for this next half.
Right. Okay. And with the work you're doing, you talked about hopefully leading it into a business. Do you see there's much of a market out there at all?
Absolutely. And I think Charlotte will tell you a little bit about that as well.
Right. So what's it like shopping for clothes, Charlotte?
It amazes me that some people shop as a hobby.
Yeah.
I think, and I might be making an assumption here, but I think for a lot of disabled people, it is more of a challenge than it is an enjoyment, which is what made this project so interesting to me. It's a learning process for both Emma and I, because while we're both experienced in design, we're coming from very different contexts. And when I think about clothing, I tend to put function over form and what it really looks like, because my main concerns are, can I get into it? Can I get out of it? And how difficult is that going to be? The
It is
actual
it is it
content,
comfortable?
yeah, is it comfortable? And also, can I afford it? So trying to match all those things at once, in a retail sense, can be quite complicated. The way I was describing it to somebody earlier was, shopping for clothes can be a bit of a chance game with compromises when you're trying to get something off the rack. So this project is a really wonderful opportunity to do something bespoke, but it also broadens my horizons as an individual to not think the way that I have before in terms of the function needs to come first. Emma is really encouraging me through the co-design process to think about the what do you actually want? What do you wish you could wear? Because that is one of the driving goals of this project.
And I sort of hear from different people that the challenges that people have, even just shopping full stop. So I would imagine you're looking at something that where someone could either send through an email, pick up the phone, and say, "Hey, look, this is what I'm looking for. I have these particular needs. Do you have something? Can you make something for me?" Etc. Is that how you both envisage it working when the business is set up, or have you got something else in mind that's even, more creative and better meeting the needs of individuals?
At this stage, we've looked at different options or talked about different options, I should say. But in the early stages, we would like to make it mobile in the sense of, in this first test iteration with me, a lot of measuring and taking photos and things like that. That's all been done in my home, which is a space of comfort for me. I think ideally for people that want to engage with this, as it's still in its beginning stages, I think we'll very much meet people where they're comfortable to be met. I think the last thing we want to do is throw people in a box and go, "Hey, now we're going to get up in your personal space and do measurements and not have a conversation." That's the opposite of what this is trying to achieve. It's really meeting people where they are.
Well, and it's what works well. Like, if you're wanting a new kitchen or you're wanting alterations done, you do them in your own home to start with, then as opposed to just going, into a shop somewhere and saying, "Oh, yes, I'll have this and I'll have that," and then it doesn't fit when you get it home. So yeah, that makes really good sense. So when do you envisage that you're going to have something that people can make contact with and say, "Hey, look, I would like some clothes that actually I can get on and off easily, and that I'm going to look, smart in"?
So at the moment, I'm finishing my thesis in this whole project in July-ish. Pretty much straight after I finish, I'll be launching the business in August, September. But at the moment, I've created an Instagram and an email, just for people if they'd like to get in touch and maybe share their stories or anything really, ask any questions.
So if people do want to get in touch, what's the best way? Because I'm imagining that I know a few disabled people who will probably be wanting already to send you an email to say, "Hey, look, shopping's a cow of a thing. I don't like it. I can never find anything that works for me." So is
Probably.
email the best option, or would you prefer? I'm just thinking that not everybody, is on social media either.
Very true. I've just got to find the email now that I've mentioned it.
Hang on.
That's right. So while
Yeah.
you're looking for that, so do you also need you so you're really looking for stories from people at the moment. You're not looking for anyone else who you can sort of have as a a model, as it were, in the most nicest way.
Yeah, I'm not sure because we have a potential person in
Right.
mind.
But certainly stories would be helpful.
Stories are helpful and just people getting involved, however
Right.
they would like to get
Yeah.
involved.
Yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning, like for my role within this, like, and for people thinking about, hey, this sounds like something I'd like to be involved with. Like, it doesn't have to be something as formal as something for a wedding. I just
Right.
happen to have
Yep,
multiple weddings on my schedule at the
that.
moment. So that felt like a good opportunity for me. But it could be as simple as I have difficulty doing up certain types of shirts, like maybe shirts that button up at the back or something like that.
Right.
It could be a focused issue, or hey, I just want a really cool jacket. So
Yeah, sounds
just
great.
opening the space for people, as opposed to I don't have a set event or I don't have a set thing, but this is a project that interests me. You're welcome to talk to us through the email or through social media, and I'm sure there will be opportunities there.
Right. All
I
right.
found it.
Right. What's the email address, Emma?
everybodynzlimited@gmail.com. Very long, but
That sounds great. Hey, look, thank you both for being on the show. Now, Emma, what's your song that we're going to go out with today and why have you chosen it?
right, mine is very old school. It is The Look by Roxette, and I chose it because it was one of my favorites when I was a kid, and I used to listen to it on a tape on a Walkman. At home.
Hey, great. Let's go with that. And thanks both for coming in today. It's great having you. And look forward to hearing more about how the business goes.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Like a raindrop, she's got the look. Heavenly bomb, cause heaven's got a number when she's spinning me around. Kissing is a color, a loving is a wild dog. She's got the look. She's got the look.
She's got the look.
She's got the look.
She's got the look.
What in the world can make a brown-eyed girl turn blue? When everything I'll ever do for you. As the lover's disguise, banging on the head drum, shaking like a mad bull. She's got the look, swaying to the band, moving like a hammer. She's a miracle man, loving is the ocean, kissing is the wet sand. She's got the look. She's got the look.
She's got the look.
The program was brought to you by Wellington Access Radio. Get your voice heard. Thanks New Zealand On Air for funding accessmedia.nz.